Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today on Let's Face the Issues, imaginary God, the imaginary God, little g, of the Socialist Democratic Party. The imaginary God, it was Dr. Robert Jeffers that coined the term, the imaginary God. Let me just read to you again. He says, these liberal Democrats are talking about an imaginary God they have created in their own minds, a God who loves abortion and hates Israel. And that's precisely correct, ladies and gentlemen, because when we look at what the Democratic Party stands for, and I call it the Socialist Democratic or the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party, and that's exactly what they do. Everything that's antithetical to the scripture, they adhere to. Everything that they claim that they believe is totally different than what they practice and what they're wanting to institute in America. Ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to our studios and right to the microphones so that you can have your input and the dialogue and discussion on this issue today. Do you believe the Democratic Party is correct? Maybe you need to call in. Do you vote Democrat? Are you willing to call in and admit that? You don't have to give your name. If you vote Democrat, if you're a Democrat, I want you to call in and tell me why and how that aligns with biblical truth. I'd really like to hear from a Democrat that will tell me that you are saved, you love Jesus, you obey the scripture, and yet you vote Democrat. I want to hear from you. I want to know how you reconcile that based on the authority of scripture. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party stands for murder by way of abortion. And yet Psalms 139 verse 14 says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that from the time of conception, ladies and gentlemen, life begins in the womb. And yet the Democratic Party stands for murder by way of abortion. Tell me, ladies and gentlemen, how can you stand for a party, how can you vote with a party that believes in sodomite marriage? It is unbiblical. In fact, it is unholy and ungodly. And we'll talk about that further in this broadcast today, what the Bible says about abortion. What does the Bible say about sodomite marriage? What does the Bible say about the social agenda? There are those that like Kamala Harris and Pocahontas Warren that talk about feeding the poor and taking care of the homeless, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, how we ought to do that. If we don't do that, then somehow, some way, we're unbiblical. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that we have the responsibility to take care of what God has given us as a family. Listen, if they believe that, then open their door. Take the lock off the front door. Take the lock off the back door. Put a sign out that says all of the homeless and all of the poor and all of the hungry can come on in and be fed, if they believe that is the way it should be carried out. Listen, there are those in the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party today that believe that socialism is taught in the scripture. It is not. It is not the way of the Word of God at all. The Apostle Paul told them at Thessalonica in the 2 Thessalonians, in that text, in that epistle, he said, if you're not willing to work, you ought not to eat. There's a need for us to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what is biblical and what is not. The Berean Christians in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, they searched the scripture as if it be true. When they were told something, even by the Apostle Paul and others, they searched the scripture, searched the Word of God to see if what they were being told was factual and was biblical in relationship to that which was being disseminated even in that era. We need to be Berean Christians today. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the imaginary God of the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. Ladies and gentlemen, the Democratic Socialist Marxist Party today stands for murder by way of abortion, which is unbiblical. They stand for the sodomite lifestyle, which is unbiblical. They stand for socialism, which is unbiblical. They stand for open borders, which will destroy America. They despise God's word. They despise God's church. They despise God's law. How do I know that? Why do I make such a dogmatic statement about that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 5, which has already passed the United States House of Representatives with 240 votes. House Bill 5 is the most destructive, ungodly, unholy, immoral bill that I believe I have ever witnessed in my lifetime coming out of any party, the Democrat or the Republican Party in Washington. House Bill 5 passed by 240 representatives. Now Senate Bill 788 with 46 senators already signed on board. Ladies and gentlemen, if that ever becomes law, and listen, perhaps you're wondering, what happens to all those bills that's passed by the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party? They passed 200-plus bills. It's just languishing in the Senate because they will not be passed. But, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. If we do not reelect President Donald J. Trump in November of 2020, and we put a Socialist Democrat in office, every one of those bills that have languished in the Senate will immediately be passed and signed into law by the then Socialist Marxist Democratic President of the United States. So they won't languish and not be used if anything takes place and as Christians do not stand up and vote. But it's now Senate Bill 788 with 46 senators. That bill trumps anything that's called, if I can use that term, it trumps anything that could be called moral, ethical, religious liberties and freedoms. In fact, in the bill, it clearly states that the Religious Liberties Restoration Act and the religious freedoms that we have and the religious conscience cannot be used as a defense against the imposition of the House Bill 5, which is called the Equality Act. The Equality Act will make a Christian and a church that which is antithetical to the law and cause them to be felons and lawbreakers. Ladies and gentlemen, a church will not be able to hire somebody and require a statement of faith based on the Word of God. They'll not be able to do that. A church or religious organization will not be able to say, I do not want to pay for abortion on demand with the insurance that I'm covering my employees with. A church will be put in a position they cannot write, cannot author, cannot publish and disseminate any material that will be antithetical to the LGBTQ community and the demands of the LGBTQ agenda and pro-death Planned Parenthood organization. Ladies and gentlemen, it will make the LGBTQ, the sodomite agenda, dominant over everything in America. We're headed for a demise of our society, just as the Roman Empire, because of the sodomite lifestyle from within. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party and what they stand for. And ladies and gentlemen, there will be persecution and prosecution of Christians and the punishment of churches, all who stand for integrity, who stand for the Word of God, who stand for the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word, will be prosecuted and persecuted if the House Bill 5 and the Senate Bill 788 ever becomes law. And that is the heart, ladies and gentlemen, the very heart of what the Democratic Marxist Socialist Party is about. And a part and parcel of that Equality Act, as it is called, and it's far from equality. It is making a certain minuscule group of society dominant. It is causing the moral majority, as Jerry Falwell used to call it, will cause the moral majority to absolutely be the ones that are lawbreakers, cause us to be the ones that are demeaned and despised in society because of not standing for what they're wanting to do. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why the Socialist Marxist Democrats are so desperately trying to deceive the immature, the ignorant, unlearned Christians in America today. And that's what it is. It is a total marketing goal. It is a total stratagem being put into place by the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party by hiring those that will give them insight and advice on how to act and respond and what to do in relationship to religious and religious people. Religion and religious people. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Democrats' new faith outreach director launches listening sessions. Now, why would you need a faith outreach director if you already are saying that you want to do what is godly, you want to do what the Bible says, and all of these 20-some-odd candidates for the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party running on the premise that now they know more about God's word than the Christian, know more about God's word than the pastor, the preacher, the theologians, and the churches in America. And they're trying to feed us this bill of goods that all that they're doing is godly, and we want to do what's holy. We want to do what is we want to do what is biblically right, and that is antithetical to what they're doing. They're trying to pull the wool over the anemic, ignorant, immature Christian to believe that somehow, if you don't believe that's true, let me just pause for a moment and interject this. Watch some of the Pete Buttigieg's, Mayor Pete, as they call him, watch some of his rallies. The majority of those in the 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, maybe 100 people in the crowd, he pulls a humongous crowd, if I can use that term, The largest crowd I've seen might be 25 to 50. But they're just rejoicing that he is a sodomite and he's running for president of the United States of America. And he quotes scripture. On one occasion, he says that since he married his husband, he is closer to Jesus than ever at any time in his lifetime. But ladies and gentlemen, here's the article. Democrats' new faith outreach director launches listening session. Years after Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign was criticized for what some argue the lackluster outreach to faith groups, the Democratic Party has hired a new religious outreach director and launches a round of listening sessions with faith leaders in the lead-up to the 2020 election. Party leaders signal their seriousness by appearing on two DNC roundtable discussions convened with faith leaders this month, shortly after Harkins was hired and the first party CEO, Seema Nada, NDA, met in Washington with leaders associated with the Union of Affiliated Christians, the pro-LGBT group affiliated with Union Seminary. Union Seminary, ladies and gentlemen, is a hog trough, if I can use that term, is a hog trough because they're feeding from the trough of the sodomite lifestyle in the LGBTQ community. And the vice president, which is Derek Harkins, that's been now hired by the Democratic National Committee as their faith leader spokesperson, he is leading and has been leading a seminary that's antithetical to the Word of God. And he even talked about the queerness of God in, I don't know if anything can be called other than blasphemy, sheer blasphemy. And when you study the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, that type of blasphemy, according to my scripture, cannot be forgiven by Holy God. Now, true, those people can get saved. They can say yes to Jesus Christ and change. And if they do, they cannot be a Christian and continue to do and say what they're doing. But this article says, at the second, representatives of Islam, Sikhism, Coptic Christianity, the Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints, better known as Mormons, and other faith dialogued with Democratic Party Chairman Tom Perez in New York. A Muslim, an individual in that group, which is a Muslim, drew attention to what she described as recent attacks by politicians and media outlets on Muslim American members of Congress, such as Representative Ilhan Omar and Rashid Tlaib, because of their faith. This individual Muslim argued that the DNC, and specifically the leadership of the party, should do more to defend them for such attacks. The party really needs to speak up and call out the racism and bigotry in the other party, that there is no room for tolerance or intolerance, that is, and racism and Islamophobia. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party is for Islam. They're for sodomite lifestyle. They're for abortion. They're for socialism. They're for a borderless America. They're for one world government. They're for a one world church. That everything that they're for is antithetical to the Word of God. I believe I have a caller on the line. If you would, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
It's good to be on with the World Patriot this morning, this afternoon. My goodness, time's flying. Actually, you should probably wear a black robe every now and then, just so that name would, that tag would fit you a little better. Calling you a black robe patriot, a lot of folks don't get the connotation, but the reality
tell
is
tell our listeners the origin of that and the source of that and the rationale behind your statement.
You step back in time. King George knew that he had a group of those patriots over there that were in the pulpit in those colonies in a faraway land that he sought to continue to subjugate. And when those pastors continued to preach against his tyranny, he dubbed them, the Black Robe Brigade or a Black Robe Regiment. And of course, he was out to have them killed because those folks, they identified everything that he did that was evil and wretched and wicked and wrong. And they did it from the pulpit and they published their sermons, had those jokers printed and disseminated in the communities. I'll tell you what, there's not a single thing, according to Dave Martin, there's not a single thing that's in the Declaration of Independence in that 33-count indictment against King George that was not first preached in the pulpits in the colonies before the Declaration was ever signed.
That's right.
Folks need to realize that that liberty, the source of liberty, is God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Scripture, and that's what scares these tyrants and these fascists to death. They're always scared of your Bible, and they're scared of your guns, and it seems like they are systematically attempting to assail both. You just had this Pete Buttigieg, whatever his name is. His brother-in-law worked him over this past week, saying that he was a moderate Pharisee and urged him to repent and stop leading people down this false religion path that Pete was trying to or is trying to lead people down. These folks, these leftists, these socialist Democrats, are over and over attempting to claim the moral high ground. These are individuals that have laughed at, mocked, ridiculed Christians for decades, and now they want to claim that somehow or another they're the moral superior in the culture. How twisted can they possibly be?
I'm in agreement with what you're saying, Greg. I am amazed, literally staggered, at the number of so-called Christians across denominational lines that's following these candidates and believing what they're saying, and in some cases regurgitating, that is, restating what they've said as though it's biblical fact. Here's an article that says, liberal pastors optimistic Democrats can rebound with faith voters after lackluster display in 2016. Let me take a moment and read this, just a paragraph or two. 4 years after Hillary Clinton's campaign failed to rally religious voters, liberal pastors say they're encouraged. Notice that's liberal pastors say they're encouraged by Democrats' faith outreach effort, but say more can be done to reach people of faith. Further in the article, the biggest shift I've noticed from 2016 and even from 2014 and 12, the Democratic Party as a whole and candidates are actually talking about faith voters, talking about their own faith, trying to include someone who organizes their faith around their faith considerations, and that's something you can bring to the Democratic Party, he says. Democratic performance among religious voters declined steadily in 2008 to 2016. In 2008, it was 26% of evangelicals, and it has declined from that. And as a result of that, Greg, they're trying to lie to the general public by quoting Scripture, and each time it's twisting Scripture, and I can prove it's twisting of Scripture, every time one of them opens their mouth and they will try to quote something, it's twisting it because it's taking it out of context, and they're trying to use it for a biased bent on what they're wanting to accomplish in the socialist, Marxist, communist agenda. And this article goes on to say Hillary Clinton fared even worse with only 16% of the evangelical voters when she voted. Further, the article says Democratic candidate Pete Buttigieg, Cory Booker, and Elizabeth Warren have prominently discussed their faith on the campaign trail. What do you think, Greg? Do you believe that folks are believing that? What do you think is the answer? How do we rebut that? What is the answer to that? How should Christians view that? Should we embrace it? Should we say, I'm so glad that they are now quoting Scripture? What do you say to what they're doing?
Well, we know that they are willing to, the left is willing to tell any lie in order to regain power. They, for decades, I mean, you go back to the Johnson administration, and he had some vile, wicked things to say about black people. He said it, on tape-recorded phone conversations. But his practical policies were to rope black folks to support the Democratic Party by handouts and giving them stuff. And he decimated – government policies have decimated the black family in America, okay? But been lied to. Black folks in America have been lied to for generations. Many of them today don't realize that the first seven black members of Congress were all Republicans. They knew what the Republican Party stand for. the Republican Party, the Republican president freed the slaves. The Republican Party supported the Civil Rights Act. The Republican Party, matter of fact, the Democrats, the ones that were the slaveholders, the slave owners in the colonies and then in America, in the United States of America, once it became an independent nation. But they've been lied to, and now the truth is being revealed. The cover is being peeled back. I believe that there is a black exit from the Democratic Party, because more and more of the black community is being awakened, their eyes being opened to the lies and the deception. And I think that has shocked Democrats. They're scared to death. This North Carolina election that just took place, districts that they took in broad swaths in past elections, they lost huge in areas where black folks make up 30% of the population. This scares the Democrats to death. Now, they've always had, they believe, the lock on that vote. And because they're losing that, now they want to reach back out. They want to tell whatever lies necessary to hopefully garner some Christian votes, maybe
That's
even
it.
Some conservative Christian votes. They're
yes.
willing also to reach out. This illegal alien thing, you see Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, one after another, that were against the open borders a decade ago or two decades ago. Today they want open borders because those people will support Democrats. They support Democrats. They identify illegal aliens identify, according to research, they identify almost 31.5% of them identify as Democrats, only 4% as Republicans. Understand, each thing they do, each lie they tell, has everything to do with acquiring power. That's it.
That's it. That's it. Greg, if you hold on just a minute, hang in there. We've got a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Youngblood. I just wanted to make a quick comment that I myself was a Democrat, and I switched parties back in 2000 during President Bush's era, and it was one of those things where I actually did my homework, did some research on the Democratic Party, and discovered that as your guests were saying earlier, it was the Republican Party who actually freed slaves and actually supported Black America. And somehow we got this thing twisted that it was the Democratic Party who was helping blacks. But, in fact, it was the Republican Party. And so, ultimately, my comment is that, you know, we need to do our homework, we need to do our research, and we need to open our eyes and understand
Amen.
That God is going to hold us accountable for the truth that we know.
Amen. We're in deep, deep, desperate trouble if we do not do that. Thank you so much, and God bless you for what you've done, for what you've said. Keep on standing and pass that truth on to others.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for your call. Greg, go ahead with your comment. Before you do that, Greg, let me say this. Here's an article that says, a matter of faith, Democrats embrace religion in campaign. Dateline Washington, when 10 Democrat presidential candidates were passed on immigration policy during their recent debate, Pete Buttigieg took his answer in an unexpected direction. He turned the question into a matter of faith. Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, accused Republicans who claim to support Christian values of being hypocrites for backing policies separating children from their families at the U.S.-Mexican border. The Republican Party, he declared, quote, has lost all of their claim forever of religious language again, end quote. Pete Buttigieg, the theologian-in-chief, as I'm calling him now, not mayor, but theologian-in-chief, he's taking everything that the Republicans are saying and doing, and he's trying to put a perverted religious scriptural bent to it that has nothing to do with the authority of Scripture. I find it absolutely sickening, ladies and gentlemen, when a candidate as Pete Buttigieg will do what he is doing. He criticized Vice President Trump, Vice President Pence, his wife, because his wife teaches in a Christian school where they teach biblical values and not the sodomite lifestyle. And yet he is a man that's married to a man and praises the fact that since he married his husband, that he's closer to Jesus than he's ever been. If that's not perverted, nothing is, Greg.
It's interesting that his I guess brother, he's identified as brother-in-law. I guess that's his mate's brother. The pastor called him out as a modern-day Pharisee, and I kind of look back in Scripture. His accuracy is spot on, because in the Scripture, Jesus was cornered by these Pharisees and scribes and accused of healing what? By the power of Beelzebub. That Jesus's power was Satan's power. How disgusting. Of course, Jesus gave him a ration of stuff that day, including pointing out the fact that a house divided cannot stand. He's saying, you know, that if why would Beelzebub seek to tear down his own house by healing, by casting out demons, by right on down the list? He nailed it. Buttigieg's brother-in-law nailed it, because that's exactly what Pete Buttigieg has tried to do. He has tried to ascribe to Jesus, to God, his ailments, his sinful activity. He wants to make God the author of sin rather than Pete Buttigieg the author of his sin, is as perverse as it can possibly be.
Yes, you talked about his brother-in-law. It's the brother of the man that Buttigieg's married to, which happens to be a preacher. And this is what he says. His brother-in-law says, Buttigieg is a person who's making up their own rules and regulations. Basically, if we don't celebrate and endorse their interpretation of Scripture, our religion is fallible, and that's just not true, according to his brother-in-law. He says that Buttigieg is, quote, making up his own rules and regulations and quoting it as being Scripture. And I find that really, how would you say, laughable, that his own brother-in-law is outing him as to where he's standing, what he's saying, and what he's doing. But I find it absolutely antithetical to Scripture, Greg, and perhaps our listeners need to understand that we need to be Berean Christians. Search the Scripture, see if it's so. When you find Pete Buttigieg, and you find Pocahontas Warren, and you find Booker, Cory Booker, and his position. Each of them now are hiring, Greg, each of them are hiring their own religious spokesperson, or religious advisor, or scriptural or spiritual advisor, as it's called. But one of the things that I find so sad, Mayor Pete stands solidly for the LGBTQ agenda. He stands for abortion on demand. He stands for no borders. He stands for free health care for everybody, free illegals coming in with education, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all antithetical to anything that be called Scripture. Greg, we've got about a minute to go on the broadcast. Would you take that minute, address what we're finding and hearing and seeing with these political leaders and their feigning to be Christians and feigning Christian theology and philosophy and wanting us to believe that? How should we as Christians and as churches respond? Got about 30 seconds.
These radical left in the Democratic Convention a few years back booed God. They've endorsed wholeheartedly every manner of sin and evil. They put the stamp of approval on abortion all the way up to the moment of birth. I've got news for you, folks. None of these things fit with Scripture. Scripture says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
That's exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast today. It is my prayer that this has stimulated you to thinking and to action, and that we'll stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Join us next time on Let's Face the Issues.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them. 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study. 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service. 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.